Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with me, Calican CEO Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Dank Discussions. Today, we're joined by Allison Sprinkle. It's a great name. Allison is the owner and creator of Peppery Lee CBD, another great name. How's it going today?
Oh, thank you. Thanks for the compliments. Yeah, I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Want to get into your background in CBD and how things are going, but also start off easy. As I always say, let our listeners know where you're based out of today.
So I'm speaking to you from snowy/sunny Winooski, Vermont, which is right outside of Burlington. They call it the Brooklyn of Burlington. So northern Vermont.
Vermont.
Yep.
I can see you here in Zoom, but you have a picture of Bernie, Vermont. So, primaries are done now, I guess. And a little bit of bummer there, I know, for me and for a lot of people there supporting Bernie and people supporting change in general and something new.
Yeah, he changed the conversation. So I'm really proud of him. And, I see him around town a lot and Jane too. And I always run up and give Jane a big hug every time I see her. And it's really a definite point of pride being from around here to, see, everybody's like, oh, Burlington, Vermont, such a cool place. And it's like, well, yeah, that's because of Bernie. Like he did so much to keep it such a civil, beautiful, respectful kind of place around here. So we owe it all to him really. And yes. all the community that's really activated around here.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess, what is the vibe there now? Not only with that, but CBD and cannabis and everything else. I mean, hopeful here and just in general in business as well, or how are things in Vermont in that regard?
For me, people, this is the kind of community that it's like, oh, you're doing that thing. How can I support you? Like, I'm going to share your stuff on Instagram. I'm going to invite you to my pop-up. I'm going to do everything I can to help you succeed. And it's just, it's a city, but it's a small city. So everybody kind of knows each other. And it's for my logo and web design, I had a friend help me. It's very much, we're all just kind of everybody's an entrepreneur and everybody's doing their own thing around here. So we all just kind of know how it is and know how to help each other, So I feel really fortunate to be in this industry, in this state. The hemp program, the Vermont Department of Agriculture is so supportive and so collaborative. And, the first thing I did when I started my business was hire lawyers, and there's Vermont Cannabis Solutions. Give them a shout out. They built a great community of hemp and cannabis entrepreneurs, and everybody's so welcoming. And they have a luncheon every month that we all get together and kind of just talk about the good and the bad and the ugly and get to know each other. And, when I first started going, January of 2019, there was a handful of us just around the table, and every month it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And, it's really cool to see the industry grow and to know that the state has our back about it all.
Yeah. And there you mentioned, talking about the pop-ups and getting together once a month, and we live in a different time now, right?
Right.
Yeah. COVID-19 Corona, and we hopeful obviously that things are going to be moving and changing, but we really don't know. We don't have I think health is first and foremost, and keeping people safe is first and foremost. Tell me a little bit how it's affected you and your business, in terms of that pop-up and having that kind of model, obviously, and having that community there that you guys were really supporting you and everything, and how you've been able to transition now in these times.
Yeah, well, the biggest boon to my business when I was first starting was that I got accepted to the Burlington Farmers Market, which was, it's, some people say it's busier and more lucrative than even a Boston Farmers Market, just because the community comes out and supports it so much. So that was really how my business grew and thrived and got its name out there, I was the only only weekly CBD booth at the Burlington Farmers Market. So that is now canceled, obviously. And I was really looking forward to participating in that again. I had gotten the acceptance email 2 weeks ago. And then last week I got an email saying that it was canceled. So that it was a bummer, but I think it's also fun, especially because I'm such a young business I'm so passionate about my business that to adapt and to change things is almost fun for me. Okay, well, that's not an option anymore. What can I do? Uh-huh. So it's how can I bring a farmer's market vibe, or what would I say at the farmer's market? How can I make that an Instagram video instead, or an email or something like that? So just really, meeting people where they are and where everyone is right now is on the internet. So just trying to figure out how to meet people there instead, for someone who sells shelf stable products like me, that's a lot easier than a lot of the farmers that are basically, I don't know what they're doing, but I know a lot of people are moving to online stuff. But, I mean, markets and pop-ups have always been my favorite thing about my business, and it's really what I love to do. But also, not having to schlep, 2 5-foot tables and a 10 by 10 tent and all that, and just to be able to, work from home and be with my daughter and do that, there's a blessing in everything, So.
Well, definitely. And it's so difficult, obviously. And like you said, for the farmers there and, things online for them. Delivery, and there's other ways that they can choose. It's an interesting thought, having an online farmer's market, right? I mean, the same kind of thing. And, obviously it's nice to walk around and schmooze, and you stop at one thing and stop at the other thing. So it's kind of different, right? I guess it wouldn't
be
the same in that regard, but definitely.
Even if the farmer's market did go on, it would have been such a different market and or more stressful. I give out samples to people. I wouldn't be able to do that. It would have had to have been so regulated that I don't know if it would have even been worthwhile, because only one person can stand and talk to you at a time. So I don't know. I feel like this summer it's just about adapting to what's actually happening. I'm a very pragmatic person. So I think I recovered mentally a little bit quicker than a lot of other people.
Yeah, no, and it's difficult. I mean, I know a lot of people, that's the main thing that's come up continually, right? It's mental health, emotional health, how people are reacting to it, it's very triggering for a lot of people, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And obviously, I'm grateful we're able to roll with the punches, but a lot of people aren't. And, for many different reasons, obviously. So, it's bringing up a lot of things, and that brings up, not to bring it all the way back to Bernie all the time. I try not keep it too political, but how necessary.
You can bring it back to Bernie. That's fine access, with me.
how necessary it is to have access to the right resources and care that people need, and something that in America we just kind of stigmatized. We talk about the stigma of cannabis that's still pervasive, but the stigma around mental health and emotional health, in a country that. You have to pick yourself up by your bootstraps, right? And it's I was always taught growing up, it's okay, cool, pick yourself up by the bootstraps, just make sure everybody's got the same length of bootstraps, thing. So a lot of people don't have those same resources, or, it's a very tough time right now for a lot of business owners.
And I think that's why that comes back to my whole discussion, what we were talking about earlier about equity in the cannabis business and trying to bring in more of the minority and just people who have been persecuted based on, that kind of harkens back to that idea too, I think.
Well, definitely. We talk about that a lot on the podcast as well. That's really for me, the big passion topic, talking about, entrepreneurship. I get really fired up about it, really excited about it. Obviously talking about cannabis and all this stuff is very exciting, but when we talk about stuff like the war on drugs or the reason why prohibition and racism that goes behind it, and how now it's You know, cannabis can be many states essential business, and yet there's you know, people still sitting behind bars for cannabis related crimes. It's a horrible situation we're dealing with, I guess.
It's horrible. It's heartbreaking. Yeah.
So I guess, you know, tell me about that passion that you have there for minorities, for the social equity aspect, and also, you know, your woman-owned business and the importance of having that as well, representative in the industry.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, cannabis, the flowers come from the female plant. So I think that women have a certain touch when it comes to cannabis and working with cannabis and being healers and things like that. I feel like that's definitely a part of it. But yeah, the whole equity part is, it's important for everyone to just have an opportunity, because we have been, you know, policing and jailing and just treated African Americans and minorities so horribly in this country, and based on some weed, like, use that to justify so many things. And I just think that the people who have been, you know, oppressed need to now be lifted up, because we're all being lifted up by this thing. Like, I feel so lucky to be able to work with this plant every day and to thrive. And I want that for, especially for people who haven't felt that before and or have felt oppression.
Oh yeah. And I mean, it's really, I'm so grateful that we do live in this time, and there still has to be so much progress, you know, that we have to have. A lot of change needs to be done and implemented. But look, just the fact that we can have this conversation openly, you know, that we can own a cannabis business, and it can be right there on my LinkedIn, and you Google Maynard Breslow and cannabis is going to be the first things that come up, and you know, it was something that had to hide, right? And I think that's what a lot of you know, even within America, you know, a lot of different cultures are still feeling that, right? They're still feeling that having to hide and having to run, you know, from authority, and where it's, you know, there's really no reason for it, you know, and a lot more change. I'm glad that we're able to experience this. And, but I guess, like you're saying, it's kind of our duty to push the envelope and to demand that that everybody be able to feel that
right.
And have an opportunity, not just an opportunity, but to have freedom, you know, that
right.
still suffering from that.
Well, I just understand that the color of my skin affords me more opportunities. So I then turn around to the people who don't have the opportunities, and I really want to bring them in to the discussion, you know?
Yeah.
I just feel like it's our responsibility.
No, definitely. And I even talk to people that they feel guilty almost. And it's like, you know, I'm a white woman or I'm a white man. And you know, in here, and it's like, it's not a matter of feeling guilty. You know, we are who we are. Everybody is different. Right. You know, I'm grateful to be a Chicano and who I am, you know, and that's part of who I am as a person, you know. I'm a Chicano Jew, you know, and I wear that proudly, you know. So it's like, but I have certain opportunities that others don't, you know, and it's our job, I guess, like you're saying, to fight for that. So it's not a guilt thing. It's just a matter of, okay, cool. So I have something someone else doesn't have. How can I bring them on
board? What do you do with that? Yeah, exactly. How do you take that guilt and make it productive? And
exactly.
How do you take it and help somebody, make somebody's life better?
Exactly. So cool. Allison, you know, I also want to get into, you know, for me, one of the big things is my fascination with not just people's background in the industry and with cannabis in general, but just their journey in entrepreneurship and life, you know. So walk me through your experience with cannabis, you know, any fun stories you have, and, you know, what led you here to Pepper Lee's CBD and wanting to give back and everything that you're doing.
Yeah. Where do I begin? I mean, I started smoking weed when I was like 12 or 13 years old out of, you know, crushed soda cans with holes poked in them in the woods.
That's pretty young, 12, 13. I think I was like 14, 15. So maybe I'm just...
It was like inappropriate for sure. I was in like eighth grade, the first time I smoked weed, I think. Yeah. Yeah, we were just, it was wild. I'm from southeastern Connecticut, and I don't know, we were just wild kids. It was definitely, you know,
it seems like my kind of crowd too, you know.
Yeah, just driving around smoking blunts, listening to Jay-Z, you know. Yeah,
that was my first album. Jay-Z was my first album I ever bought, you know.
Reasonable Doubt, I hope.
No, Volume 2. Volume 2, Hard Knock Life. That was the one.
Yeah. You got to get on that Reasonable Doubt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Since then, I've heard it all.
Yeah. So then, you know, fast forward, I was arrested when I was 17 for a little bag of sticks and stems, which anyone listening to this who knows me will chuckle because it was like the talk of the high school that Allison got arrested for having a bag of sticks and stems, and I had to do a ton of community service. But, you know, I still continued to smoke weed. It didn't really deter me. It was like, I would get out of community service and then go buy a bag and smoke a blunt. Like, didn't bother me.
Stems instead of, you know, the good, you know, my dad always told me, like, if you're going to get caught for something, do it right. You know, when I got caught, it was with like a quarter pound, you know what I mean? So at least I was like, okay, it's worth it.
It was worth it.
Whatever else.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Well, like, I'm going to sit here and pick up trash for
exactly
the time for some seeds, for some seeds and some stems. Like, come on.
I did find $20 one time when I was picking up trash, so I figured out it was like, because of that $20, I was making like 13 cents an hour for the amount of hours that I did.
And we go back to those who are incarcerated and with the, you know, and we can have that conversation again.
Exactly. So, and then, you know, after I had my daughter, I definitely slowed down on smoking weed. I quit drinking and just kind of became like mommy. That was when, like, you know, so I quit drinking maybe 4 years ago, and then CBD started to become a thing in Vermont maybe like 3 years ago. And I remember taking like a little capsule and I was like, oh, this is lovely. I feel great. This is like everything that I ever wanted weed to be. Like, I'm not anxious. I don't have munchies. Like, I feel at peace. Like, this is actually like, this is what I was looking for in cannabis the whole time. And it just like sparked something in me. So then I just got a little bit of cannabis. It kind of just like became, it became available, like the whole hemp thing. So I got a little bit and I started playing around with it. And I started by making like little tinctures and capsules and like oil extractions. And I was on fire about it, but I hired some lawyers and they were like, oh, the FDA, we're not really sure what's going to go on. Like, so I was like, oh, well, I'll just do topicals. That was like kind of a knee-jerk reaction to not wanting to be regulated by the FDA. But then I started to just get really excited about making topical applications of CBD. And I like made this coffee scrub and it like cleared up my face. And I made this muscle rub and it was like helping my dad not have to use ibuprofen as much. And I was like, oh my gosh, this stuff is like actually changing my life, my family's life. So then I like, very shortly after that, I was like, I'm a waitress. Like, that's what I've done for most of my professional life. I was like, well, if I don't, you know, I'm approaching 40 years old, I don't know if I want to wait tables. Not that there's anything wrong with that at all, but it's also really hard on your body. So I was like, this could be a way to make money and also like feed my soul and help my community. So let's just give it a shot. So I kind of like tapped all my friends, like graphic design friends and website designer friends, and everyone just kind of like held me up and was like, this is great. And I did a lot of trade for work because everyone wanted what I was making. So it was really exciting. So then, you know, 2 years later, here I am, I've got the website and I'm talking to you. And it's, you know, it's definitely been a cool journey with cannabis. I don't smoke weed anymore at all, really. Like, once in a while, if I'm like out on my husband's boat, I'll take like a hit, but it's really, the CBD is what I've always been looking for. So it's really cool to be alive when this is happening. And also, like, so much love to little Charlotte that we just lost last week. She really made all of this possible. So I just want to definitely give her some love, because that's a big loss.
Definitely. You know, we're talking about paving the way and, you know, helping those. She helped all of us, right? Everything that exactly. we're able to do. And she suffered throughout her life as well. And, you know, and the benefits she's able to give all of us, right? But you mentioned there, you know, so definitely 100% with you with that. Mentioned there, yeah. You know, I kind of been in the same boat as you, whereas, you know, I started smoking weed pretty young, you know, like I said, 14, 15. And I was looking, didn't realize the time, but looking for relief from many different things. And like you said, like, you know, CBD now is kind of like my main thing, you know, I mean,
yeah,
whether with the tinctures or smoking it, you know, it's so funny. I used to think smoking something doesn't get you high. What the hell is the point of that? You know what I mean?
What's the point? Yeah,
exactly. You know, like, it's so funny now, but you know, same thing, like smoke when I want to smoke, you know, bud when I want to. And for the most part, you know, the CBD was always kind of what I was looking for.
But, exactly.
But now you're, you know, so you do your own formulation and processing and everything yourself?
I do everything but the farming, I guess is how I could put it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very good. I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of people in the industry, they have their different manufacturers. Talk to me a little bit about that process.
It's just a straight up like witchy lipid extraction, like right into coconut oil or grapeseed oil or avocado oil, just in my production kitchen in my home. It's super small batch, like, and then I take that coconut oil and I make, you know, a really beautiful like salt scrub with chamomile and calendula and Dead Sea salt, just whip it together in my mixer. Or, you know, coffee scrub with, I have a friend that roasts coffee and he gives it to me and I make a coffee scrub for like the face. And that's just really simple with like, I infuse herbs into apple cider vinegar and put that in there. And it's all like, my techniques are definitely more on like the witchy side of things than like the lab technician side of things. Like, it's definitely an herbalist approach, I guess you could
say. What do you mean by that? Witchy side of things?
Well, I don't have like $1 million lab, then I'm not like extracting like these terpenes and these, you know, and I'm not like dialing it in like down to the 0.000%. Like, you know, it's more just earth, air, fire, water, and my love, you know, going into it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the whole plays into the whole thing, right? Pepperleigh and the pop-ups and the farmer's market, you know, I mean, you see a lot of times, you know, people in the farmer's market and you ask them what's in the stuff and they don't know or it's all kinds of crap in there, you know what I mean? So it's, they're selling products and it's supposed to be a wellness, right? I mean, the whole thing is CBD wellness and what you're putting in your body. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, all
my plant matter. You know, it's a free country, you know, but.
Yeah. All the plant matter that I use is, you know, grown in the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont, which is like the most beautiful, unspoiled, like very mystic feeling. Like you drive out there and you're like, what is the vibe out here? It's like kind of dark and creepy, but also like so unspoiled and beautiful and just, it's the most amazing, like untouched part of Vermont. And that's where the hemp grows that I use, by a family farm that's certified organic. So that was really important for me to find like a good farm partner, because I mean, there's so many hemp farms, as you probably know, like I don't need to do the farming. Like I don't, I want to support farms instead of trying to be all of the things. I'm enough of the things. I don't need to do it all.
Exactly. And so you stick to all the scrubs and the rubs and the topicals and the...
Yeah, bath, beauty, and wellness is what I say.
Very good, very good. Mm-hmm. And that's just a matter of same kind of thing. Like there's enough people doing the everything else, you know, the edibles and the tinctures and everything.
Yeah. Else. Well, it's kind of like,
Or is there a reason behind that? You're like, you know what, this is for me, this is what I find relief in and this is what I see and this is what I kind of want to stick to.
Yeah, the more that I started playing around with the topical applications, the more I just fell in love with it and really found my niche. And I think that, you know, just because I'm CBD and just because I work with hemp doesn't mean I need to make dog treats and tinctures and like the whole, I don't need to make every single thing that is, has CBD in it. Like I have friends that are making amazing chocolates, you know, I don't need to do that. Like there's already somebody doing that, you know? So it's like, I think as the industry grows and ages, like I think people are going to start to find their niche and realize that they don't have to do everything.
Yeah.
So I've really found my passion and what works for me and what people expect from me now, is that more like feminine approach and like skincare and hair care. And I make like scoopable bath bomb things that people love. And, you know, it's more about, like a gentler, more feminine side, I guess you could say.
That's great. That's great. I guess, you know, aside from, you know, obviously the pop-ups being down right now and everything like that in the farmer's market, what is the biggest obstacle that your business face? And I guess how have you, or how are you able to overcome it?
Besides the pop-ups, people are still finding me on the internet. So I would say everything, you know, I'm not in a ton of retail stores, like, and I'm only really a year old business. So I haven't, like, there weren't any huge accounts that I had that have now pulled back. So, and I don't have employees, so I don't have a ton of overhead or didn't have to like lay anyone off. So I feel like as far as, the coronavirus stuff, I haven't been hit as hard as some other people. Because I'm small anyways, so it really wasn't a huge hit. And it's, and like I said, I have such a supportive community around here that people are still finding ways to support me.
That's awesome. So you haven't really seen a drop off then. So the people that you were already buying from you, they're buying from you from your shop now, right? You
know, exactly. It's more web orders. Yeah, exactly. So I'm trying to like figure out like, okay, what are the things that I used to tell people at the farmer's market? How can I like translate that online? Like, okay, so what stories do I tell people at the farmer's market? How can I make that an Instagram post, or how can I like turn that into like an email or something? So that's kind of where I'm at, just like adapting to what's actually happening right now. And people seem to be responding, and like, you know, nobody can get a haircut right now. So I just made a hair mask so that people can like love on their hair and not freak out quite as much. I'm just thinking about like, what do people need now from me, you know?
Yeah. And have you seen, I mean, how has it just been kind of all word of mouth, or is there, you know, you mentioned the Instagram posts or the emails, is you know, is there kind of like techniques that you can share with the people here, of how you've been able to, because I think a lot of people are suffering from the same thing, right? Of not, you know, kind of like, cool, well, my store's closed, or my normal farmer's closed, but maybe a lot of people don't know that I'm online, or you know, it's not really spreading the same way that it would have. And so how are you going to
keep that? Guess like my friend always says, like, where are your people and what do they need and how can you serve them? And if you can answer those three questions, usually that will lead to people finding you and being able to support you. So where are people? People are on the internet right now. And what do they need? They need something to help them relax. And, you know, how can you serve them? Maybe give them a little extra lovin' when they order something from you. Throw in a little something free, or give them a discount, or, you know, help them to understand how, like, a lot of my products don't really exist anywhere else, like CBD salt scrub and bath scoops and hair masks and coffee scrubs and things like that. Like they're all kind
of, it's definitely unique. A lot of the stuff you write, your products are very unique. Yeah.
So like instructing people on how to use them, and like, I'd make little videos about like what I do. Cause basically I just make products that I want to use. And then I'm banking on the fact that other people want to use them, because I'm not that different than other people. So I just kind of, I've been doing little videos about like how I use my products and like what kind of rituals I create around them and things like that. And that's helped people understand my products a little bit better. So that's helped for sure. And just, you know, because I'm a one woman show and because it's just my business and like I'm on fire about it, right? So that helps me because I'm always thinking about it. So I'm always thinking of new ways to like communicate to my people because I care about them and I care about my business and I want people to have these things. So however I can help them get it, I'm going to, you know.
No, definitely. And I love, like you said, you're making products for yourself and they are unique, you know, it's definitely unique stuff. It's not, you know, you kind of see the same products a lot of times, like you're saying, you know, everybody wants to be everything to everybody, but really, you know, niche in and specialize in something. And that's what I always tell my clients as well. You know, you have to find a niche. I know you want to be everything to everybody and everybody has an endocannabinoid system and, you know, there's no reason why, you know, you can't be that, but there is, because you want to make products for people that are going to hear you and hear your message and that it's your message, right? Not trying to reach somebody that may not relate to you, and that's okay. There's a product out there for them and someone else that they can relate to a little bit differently.
Exactly.
Very good. So, I mean, obviously we live in a weird time right now. You know, it's kind of hard to pull out that crystal ball, but what can we expect from Pepper Lee CBD in the future? Any plans?
I think, you know, just slow, happy, calm growth, hopefully. You know, I'm a mom and there's a lot of homeschooling going on right now. So, I just want to figure out how I can serve my community as best I can and hopefully get back into farmers markets if that's the vision, but just to continue making my products and getting them to the people that need and want them and just keep on keeping on. You know, I think people, my stuff resonates with people. And once they find me, like I think people really love it. So I think just that kind of like simple, like one-on-one conversation and relationship is really what I thrive on. So nothing crazy, hopefully.
Amazing.
Just staying here and doing my thing.
That's it. That's it. And I love the calmness and everything that you exude here. You know, just kind of that, like, keep on
the
going,
CBD.
You know, we talked about, yeah, but you know, like you said, you know, there's a lot of, you know, crazy times and a lot of people freaking out. And I think you have the right viewpoint on it, right? Like, you know, things change and just got to keep, moving along little by little. And that's kind of the best way, you know, so appreciate it. I love it. So, cool.
Yeah. It's fun to be creative and adapt and all that. Like if, you know, I was listening to your, podcast with the guy from Hawaii and how you said, like, you know, Mama Ganja like decides who stays and that's how it is. And like, if your aim is true and you're creative and your intentions are good and your energy is good, then you'll be around and you'll, you know, you'll figure out a way to serve your people. So
it's true. It's true.
And I truly believe that too.
We live in a culture, you know, where I think, and you know, everybody thinks you push and you shove and you fight
your way
to the top and everything like that. And there's something you said, you know, you got to keep moving and all that stuff.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and everything like that, no doubt about it, you know. And but at the same time, how are you doing it? What's the intention behind it?
Right? What's your energy?
And, what's your energy? And do you have the good intentions in mind and others in mind? And doing things with integrity. To me, that's the most important.
Right. And people can see that, especially nowadays. People can spot a phony. But consumers are a lot more educated these days than they ever have been.
Savvy people out there. And we, you know, we're kind of trained how to judge, you know, for better or for worse, and everything, you know, in a matter of seconds, right? I mean, just
that's right.
When you meet somebody or whether you're just browsing on their website, you know, and you can really tell something really quickly. So whether something looking at a box and branding and everything like that, for better or for worse.
Absolutely.
It's very good. Now, ask all my guests this. I'm excited to hear your response as well. You know, how do you define success, whether professionally, personally, existentially? What does success look like for you?
Oh boy. being able to help people, I guess, would be, you know, in a meaningful way, I think goes a long way to define how, you know, how I would feel about my success would be if I was helping the most amount of people and, you know, and also my community and myself.
Amazing. Amazing. Helping community. I think that's been the theme of this whole thing, right? You know, community and sustainability and it comes full circle.
Yeah, absolutely.
So very good. So as we close, how can listeners find out more about you, Pepperleaf CBD, connect with you and find and buy your unique products?
Yeah, so it's pepperleafcbd.com is my website. And I'm on Instagram at pepperleafcbd as well. So you can go have a look at that and kind of get a vibe of what my products are and what I'm all about. And if anyone has any questions, I'm Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N at pepperleafcbd.com.
Very good, Allison. Really appreciate you. Really appreciate you jumping on with me today. And thank you
all. Oh my gosh, I appreciate listening. It. Thank you.
That was good. So
yeah,
definitely in the great vibe. And, you know, I think you'll be really good once not only getting through this time, but and beyond. So I wish you all the best. Good luck in 2020 and beyond.
You as well. You as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Be well.
We at Calican are passionate about cannabis marketing, branding, and web design. If you're a cannabis entrepreneur and you know you need an uptake in business or an upgrade in the way your customers perceive you, come check us out at calican.com and schedule a time to speak with us. Plans start at $248. Thanks for listening in to Dank Discussions, and we are so grateful for each and every one of you. We want to continue making dank content you want, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calican.com. That's C-A-L-A-C-A-N-N.com, and follow us on Instagram for our latest updates.